It's good to be here. You'll have to forgive me. I may occasionally have to pause and cough. I have two glasses of water over there, so I should get through it okay. But I'm feeling much better than I have been. So thank you to John and to Andrea, who stepped in at the last minute over the last couple of weeks to preach while I've been in my sick bed. And it's great that we're able to continue this. Now, for those who've been tracking, we're doing Mark's Gospel, and we were meant to finish that in the perfect place to finish a series on Mark at the end of chapter 8, but that was those 2 weeks that I was off, and we're not going to do that. We'll pick that up later on when we start pick up Mark again. We're now going to move into a new series where we're going to be thinking about an upcoming season next year called Hope 25. So I'm going to pray, and then Ollie's going to play a video for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for your call to us to go and make disciples. And we pray, Father, that as we reflect on that instruction and your encouragement to go and do it under your authority and with your presence with us, Lord, we pray that we would feel equipped and enabled to make disciples together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our world needs hope.
All around us, we are faced with uncertainties, rising costs of living,
a changing climate,
mental health epidemic,
family violence,
wars and rumours of wars,
instability and fear.
Our world needs hope.
Jesus is our hope in an uncertain world.
And we want to share that hope with others.
We're inviting every Anglican church in Australia
to join together to proclaim this hope
between Easter Day and Pentecost 2025.
We'll help you by providing resources and encouragement,
prayer materials and training,
videos and how-to guides to enable you to take part.
Imagine every Anglican church,
every town and city,
every suburb and community,
all working in the same season
to proclaim hope in an uncertain world.
We want every person in Australia to know the hope we have in Jesus.
As we remember today that God poured out his Spirit on the early church,
we ask him to pour his Spirit afresh on us and give us the power to be witnesses in the world.
Will you join us?
Will you join us?
Will you join us? Will you join us?
Sign up today, Hope 25.
Right, yeah, well, that's just a little intro to Hope 25, which we have played before, but we haven't really spent much time thinking or talking about it as a church. And so I wanted to spend the next month thinking about evangelism and the things that God's calling us to and some ways that we can do that so that we can be prepared when we hit this season of Hope 25 next year. Now, of course, we're always called to evangelism, and we are always seeking to think about ways that we can connect with our community and communicate the good news about Jesus with them. But, of course, it's good to have little specific moments in time where we focus our attention. And there's something about the whole of the Australian Anglican Church doing this together, which means we'll be combining our prayer life and our activity in seeking to reach the lost in Australia and for us here in Lindisfarne. Well, when we think about evangelism and about telling people about the hope we have in Jesus, those final words of Jesus that Carming read for us this morning are instructive, aren't they? Starting at verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" they're instructive because sometimes when we start thinking about evangelism, we can get scared. We think of all the ways it could go wrong. We think of all the ways we might not know how to answer people's questions they might ask us, or we think of all the rejection we might face as people respond negatively to Jesus and the good news of his salvation. But these words of Jesus remind us that we don't step out in this task alone, and we don't step out in this task reliant on ourselves. Jesus reminds his disciples and therefore us that he is the one in charge. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. It is because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done that we can go. He tells his disciples to go and make more disciples under his authority and with the promise that he'll be with them as they go. Now, you might remember last time we spoke about evangelism, I referenced, and I want to reference it again, the great work by a guy called Sam Chan. He's got a great little book called How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy, and I commend that book to you if you haven't already read it, or if you have, to go and pick it up again in the lead up to Hope 25. But he's also got a sort of more academic book called Evangelism in a Skeptical World, and in that he describes evangelism like this: the essence of evangelism is the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. Evangelism is our human effort of proclaiming this message, which necessarily involves human communication, language, idioms, metaphors, stories, experiences, personality, emotions, context, culture, and trusting and praying that God, in his sovereign will supernaturally use our human and natural means to effect his divine purposes. In a general sense, evangelism refers to our human effort of proclaiming the message to any audience of non-believers and believers. In a narrower sense, evangelism refers to our human efforts of proclaiming this message to non-believers, but in both senses, we proclaim the gospel with the hope that our audience responds by trusting, repenting, following, and obeying Jesus. And that's what the season of Hope 25 is going to be all about: proclaiming the good news and hoping that those who hear will trust in Jesus, repent of their sins, and turn and follow him. And of course, as we go, we need to be clear on what it is we're proclaiming. We're proclaiming the gospel, which there's a number of ways you can sum it up, but I think generally speaking, if we think of it like this, we're on the right track. God made the world, as we heard this morning in the kids' talk, that human beings rebelled against him, that Jesus came to save us through his death and resurrection, and that in response to that, we need to turn from our sin and trust in him. And when we do that, God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live new lives for him. That's the framework that I think we have in mind. That's the core of the message that we're going to be trying to proclaim. And we're going to be proclaiming that not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit who goes with us under the authority of Jesus, as he promised in Matthew 18 to 20. So as we think about that, and as we think about the upcoming season of evangelism, there's just a few things I wanted us to start remembering and start thinking about as we head into this season. And the first is that as we seek to proclaim the gospel, we need to be willing and open to following God's lead. We need to be sensitive to the opportunities God places before us. I want to remind you of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Let me read it to you. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip went into the then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. What a remarkable story. And what an openness by Philip to be willing to be led by the Spirit to the opportunities God was creating for him. And I want to say that as we head into a season of trying to be deliberate about our evangelistic efforts, we need to make sure that we're being prayerful and that we're being open to the leading of God as we seek to share the good news. That is, there's going to be opportunities that come that are outside our expectations, and we need to take them when God places them before us. In our own ministry, we've seen how this can happen. We do a lot of work trying to be strategic and thinking about who we're trying to reach as a church and how we can connect them to the good news about Jesus. And then sometimes we run an alpha course and some guy we don't have any connection to just dials it up, turns up and becomes a member of our church. God leads in mysterious ways, and we have to be ready for it when he does. Or another guy who turned up to church recently, he ended up joining a different church, but I've been talking with him through that, but he turned up and said, "I think I need to get baptised," much like the eunuch, and he's going to get baptised at the church he ended up finding his home. But here was a guy who God just placed before us, and we ministered to him, and God is working in his life. We need to be open and willing to God's moving, and we need to take the opportunities he places before us. But that doesn't mean we don't need to be strategic as well. We also can have a strategic sense of who we're called to reach, and that's going to be part of what we need to think about and pray about as we lead into Hope 25 next year. Take the Apostle Paul, for example. He was extremely strategic in who he was trying to reach. In fact, he identified himself as the apostle to the Gentiles. In Ephesians 3, chapter 8, he said, "Although I'm the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." Or in Romans 11, 13, "I am talking to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles." Paul knew who God had called him to reach, the Gentiles. Now, that didn't mean he didn't try and reach Jews as well, and he wasn't open to the leading of God in the places where he went on his missionary journeys, but he had a sense of who it was God was leading him to. He had a strategic focus in his mission, and we too need to be strategic as we think about who God's calling us to. Now, of course, some of you will be aware, but not all of you, that for us, Hope 25, which starts on Easter Day and goes through to Pentecost next year, opens for us on the same week, basically, that commemorates the 100th year of the laying of the foundation stone of this church building in which we sit. And so that's led us to start thinking about how we can engage with people who have an historic connection to the church and how we can celebrate God's faithfulness over a long period of time and try and connect that story to the gospel. And so we've done some work in thinking about a celebratory service and a concert, and Nathan's going to be writing us some music, and there's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to do there that hopefully can reach one type of person in Lindisfarne, those who have that historical connection with us. But of course, there are going to be other types of people we want to try and reach too, like the families that we engage with the playgroup. We need to think strategically about what things we can do during Hope 25. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. We need to be open to God's calling. We need to be strategic in about who we're trying to reach. We also need to work together. If we're going to have a successful and focused season of evangelism, we need to work together to do that, but also to carry on doing the other things we're going to keep needing to do as a church aside from evangelism. Let me remind you again of the story in Acts of the apostles who had a job to do but got distracted, and so they had to get some help in. Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. We will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." The proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism, and they presented the men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. In order to do the work of evangelism, the apostles needed to gather a team around them. And of course, the team they gather to help with the distribution of food, we know as the Acts story continues, many of them are also preaching the word of God. Stephen is martyred for it not too long later. As we seek to share the good news about Jesus in a season of Hope 25, we're going to need a team of people to work on it together. Now, we're going to think a bit more about sharing our story and how we can do some other aspects of evangelism in coming weeks. But let me just leave you with a few ways that we can start now to be ready for this season that we've got coming up next year. First, we need to remember that God is with us and that we go under his authority and with his empowering presence. We need to pray that God would guide us and give us opportunities to share and open people's hearts, just like he did for Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We want to be strategic, thinking about who we're going to try and reach. And to help us do that, let me encourage you now to go to hope25.com.au and to sign up to the mailing list and to start getting the emails so that it will continue to prompt your thinking once a month about this season that's coming up and how we can get ready. Let me also encourage you to join a Hope 25 prayer time. Tasmanian churches are gathering on the third Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. via Zoom to pray for our church, to pray for this season. And anyone is welcome to go to that, and I'll be sending out the link to that later in the month as we get closer to the next third Thursday. Unfortunately, the third Thursday of this month was Thursday. Finally, if this whole thing is something that is exciting for you, that you think, what a great opportunity this is for our church to reach out, and I've got all these ideas about things we could do, then I want you on the Hope 25 planning team. And we're going to have a meeting after church on the 10th of November, so in a few Sundays' time, to think about how we can start planning for this season coming up. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have promised to be with us as we go into your world to preach your good news. Lord, we pray that you would give us many opportunities to share the hope we have, that you would give us wisdom and the words to say, and Lord, that you would change the hearts and minds of the people of Lindisfarne as they hear the good news, and that we would see many people come to know and love you. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.